Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, I don't know, like, it's kind of like a weird, like, you know, our kind of like how we go through pay-per-views a week ahead of time.
Yeah.
Everything interesting that there is to talk about right now is next week.
So, they have announced that next week is the season premiere of Raw.
Yes.
And we went, ah, ha, ha, so stupid.
Because they've done that time and time again.
Not time and time again. This is, I think...
Oh, well, I mean, the last few years.
Have they done it every year?
I don't know if they've done it every year.
That's the thing, is like, I feel like they've skipped years.
Yeah.
Do it when they were like, hey, you should tune in.
Right. And usually it's like in September when all the other TV shows are coming back.
Right.
Like I think the first one was that, like, I think it was a cage match between Jericho and Bray Wyatt. That was like their big,
yes,
you know, main attraction.
So it's generally been, ha ha ha, so stupid. This is every week.
Because they're literally, there literally is no difference between the season finale, quote unquote, from last week and this, you know, premiere.
And if there is season premiere or finale, it's WrestleMania. Like, we all know this.
Yeah, completely. And even you can even say the premiere is probably, I don't know, the week after when they do the draft.
Yes.
Because pretty much anything you see as far as roster-wise means nothing this week.
I will say, however...
Mm-hmm.
But because of next week being what next week is, and WWE is billing it as like premiere week, and I'm like, okay, I kind of get that.
Well, yeah, like, and plus, you know, they've been hyping up Raw next week as the premiere, which is kind of like their way of like, hey, we know there's a lot of hype around this whole SmackDown moving to Fox thing.
Yes,
here's our attempt to make you kind of interested in Raw next week.
But Raw's a big deal too. Like, don't forget about that.
We're taking all of our A-team commentary and putting it on SmackDown and giving you 205 Live commentators.
Yes, I noticed that.
And Jerry Lawler.
But maybe this is a chance to flourish.
Well, sure. I mean, there was a couple weeks ago where, I forget why, but Vic Joseph went on commentary during Raw, and he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Now, Dio Madden, he literally just joined a commentary team 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how that's going to work out.
And
we all know the cringy BS that comes out of Jerry Lawler, so.
See, when did Lawler did something recently? And I don't remember. What did he called a match recently? I don't remember what or why it was.
I don't either. Usually they'll bring him out for like a Mania match.
It was more recent than that. It was like within the past month.
It might have been a Raw reunion then.
Yeah, that's what it was, I think.
Yeah, because Booker T like came out and did commentary for a match that lasted like 5 seconds.
Well, Lawler came out and did commentary, and listening to it, I was like, I really appreciate what he's doing, and. It highlighted my issues with Corey Graves, because Corey Graves,
I feel like the market is oversaturated with Corey Graves.
Yeah, sure. Well, Corey Graves obviously had to retire, and then it felt very quickly like, but he found his second career.
Right.
It felt like he clicked very quickly. He was doing his job fantastically at NXT. He was a big draw for their commentary team.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like he got better and better and better and better very quick, week, and then has kind of plateaued.
Yeah.
And he is the kind of character that when you're not good, you're bad. There's not a fine version of Corey Graves. There's a great version of Corey Graves that we've really loved in the past.
Yeah.
But if you're not good and you're that, you're bad. And Corey Graves has been very irritating for a very long while.
I agree with that.
And a lot of it feels like it's general, like, issues of the commentary putting over the commentators above the match.
Right.
The Corey Graves bullying Saxton long-running thing to me wore out its welcome very quickly, and then is like, that's not... If you're not leading to a WrestleMania feud, and you shouldn't because you tried it.
Right.
And, like, you tried it and it worked, and then it didn't work. Like,
it worked for like a hot second, yeah, and it very much didn't.
Acknowledge the very, you know, brief lightning in a bottle that it was.
Yeah.
Give it the tip of the hat, and then don't
ever try it again.
Right. And I don't think that they're ever going to try it again, but this feels like all of the annoying buildup to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
knowing that there's not going to be a payoff.
Right.
Yeah.
So with all that said, maybe it was just a nice change of pace. Maybe it's not like, oh, Lawler has had some time off, has really like found his smile, I guess.
Right.
For the commentary game.
Yeah. Or it just could, you know, it could be like trying to get nostalgia,
interest. I'm totally acknowledging that you could be pulling up my nostalgia strings, but I was remember that match. I was like, I wouldn't hate more Lawler on commentary. Now, I wasn't exactly asking for him to be commentating the 3-hour show every week.
Full time, yeah.
But
like an occasional thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it, because, you know, from what I understand, SmackDown is just Corey Graves and Michael Cole now. They have Renee Young as a special contributor.
I'm assuming she'll be there every week.
Yeah, more than likely. But like, it sounds like her main focus is going to be on the Fox talk show.
Yes.
That she's going to be hosting with Booker, which is a perfect place for him. He's great on like panel shows and pre-shows and stuff like that. I feel bad for Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton. Tom Phillips has been like a pretty solid play-by-play for a while now. And I don't know if this means he's going to 205 or if he's going to NXT UK, because, you know, the announcers for both of those shows have been kind of plucked and taken to Raw or NXT. So it'll be interesting to see. They definitely have jobs and assignments for them. It's just, I hesitate to say any sort of demotion is happening because of this, but it kind of feels that way.
Okay, we don't actually know, and we won't know for a while how the rankings shake out.
Right.
But we've always known, no matter what, the long-term game is Raw's number one, SmackDown's number two. NXT is number four, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a definite, you know, jump between those shows.
Yeah.
And we've known, even when they do things like, oh, SmackDown's going to be on Tuesdays Live. Oh, the WWE Champion is a SmackDown brand champion. All of that is like all well and good. And yes, you definitely have weeks or even like a stretch of a couple of months where you're really focused on SmackDown and bringing SmackDown up to that A game level.
Yep.
But we all know, long-term, Raw's 1, SmackDown's 2.
Yeah.
NXT's down there. Right now is the first time since I have been watching, and I think since ever, that we have a very viable thing of, I don't know how it's going to shake down to be the most must-see, the big one, the brand of the company.
Yeah, and you know, we obviously next week will be a big litmus test for exactly like how much they're invested in, you know, making SmackDown a viable top, you know, show compared to Raw.
Well, okay, no, see, I think next week's nothing, because next week,
well, sure, it's premiere stuff, so it's really just, I would say, from the draft after, like from that point on.
I would say we need to readdress this. Mm-hmm. 3 months after the draft has happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have Raw, which is the Vince baby, the original WWE weekly programming, longest running. It's the one, like seeing Vince be like, nope, you know, SmackDown's my new favorite.
Yeah.
I'm no longer best friends with Raw. Just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Raw has that, you know, intangible, unreplaceable. It was the one.
Yeah.
SmackDown has Fox. SmackDown has the most eyeballs, the most televisions, at least.
Yeah. Most access to most people. Yeah.
It has the biggest broadcast corporation behind it of any of them.
Yeah.
It has, not the best time on Friday.
Yeah.
But it has the most opportunity with advertising.
Yeah.
Watched the Emmys last weekend. There was a fair amount of SmackDown advertising. I mean, it was that same commercial over and over where that you've seen several times. But it's there is a lot of opportunity for, and they're pushing it.
Yeah. And it really makes you wonder, does Fox know that Stone Cold is retired? Because he's been featured a lot.
I mean, that's the thing that people keep, you know.
Yeah.
That's who people are going to know. Like, so they did the Rock eyebrow. They're going to do that forever.
Oh, sure.
Gentlemen are going to be long dead and buried, and they're going to be advertising them like they're coming on this week.
Right, yeah.
Well, you have those two. And then you have NXT, which is the one that is up against
a direct competitor. Yes. Like, this Wednesday is, and it is the first, because they've confirmed it, it is the first time where both hours are going to be on USA.
Yes.
And it's basically going to be a mini takeover.
I mean, and that's what we're talking about, that this is, as they're calling it, and I feel like correctly so for the first time, this is premiere week.
Yeah.
They are premiering a new face of their company, a new brand.
Yeah.
Here it is. This is the WWE establishment going forward. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
Raw, NXT, SmackDown.
When are we going to podcast?
I mean, I don't know. Well, we will have to podcast after, at least this week, we'll have to podcast after Friday. Like, we can't podcast.
We're going to have to start podcasting on Saturdays? Ew! But yeah, we'll do what we have to.
So,
it's sad that this is the first time I had that thought. Like, when are we going to record?
No, they have a full, I mean, and they also have this feeling of wrestling doesn't end. If you want to, like, get into the weeds of podcast scheduling,
yeah,
it's this thing where we have, you know, we've always had Monday on Raw.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and if that wasn't the most important thing of the week, it was Sunday because there was a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then we had other stuff throughout the week. And that could be, you know, NXT or SmackDown or just general news stuff.
Yeah.
That happened between the things. But we at one time were podcasting where, you know, Raw goes off the air, you know, microphones get turned on.
Right. Because, like, we had no real reason to watch SmackDown or wait for that to cross. NXT wasn't a thing at that point.
And we had the time and the sleep schedules that allowed that.
Oh, God.
But that was the thing, is we've always had Raw as an anchorage point of the big moment of the week. We always knew we had to podcast for the week after Raw.
Yeah.
And that became, we'll podcast on Tuesday, SmackDown's on Tuesday, okay, we'll podcast on Wednesday, NXT's on Wednesday. We'll go, it moves back and forth and around, and we do it differently week to week based on, you know,
what we need to do.
Schedules and stuff. But there is not an end to a week of podcasting, because it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, or Saturday, because that's when AEW pay-per-views are.
Yeah.
Like, we have a very constant, steady stream. And
I do kind of appreciate that now we're, for the most part, we're getting a day gap between shows.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, but we are also doing that. WWE would front load, and that's, I think, the biggest thing that hurt SmackDown was when,
especially on pay-per-view.
Yes, when I had a 4-hour pay-per-view and a 3-hour Raw, and then it's like, here, and I'm like, I've seen wrestling today.
And on those weeks, in all seriousness, on those weeks, like, it felt like, you know, the writers, the wrestlers, and certainly the fans, especially when it's when, you know, there's the big pay-per-views, we're all in the same building. Because then you've got NXT takeovers on top of that. You really feel like the fans and everyone else is just so worn out.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that we don't really have that problem for the most part anymore. Now, it does get interesting once we get into WrestleMania season, because then, like, when do you do the Hall of Fame? When, like, you know, with NXT is going to be the night after SmackDown.
Assuming that there will still be takeovers.
Yeah.
We don't actually have any takeovers scheduled, I don't think. I don't think there's any arenas that have been announced. Like, we have a lot of assumption of, like, they're going here, so they'll go here.
And they've pretty much gone away with, you know, we're not necessarily doing takeovers the same weekend as major pay-per-views.
Right.
And I think, like, right now, and rightfully should, they're concentrating just on the show being live every week.
Right. And I think they will do that for a while.
Yeah.
And they will build up to big event shows. Like, that's just the structure of wrestling.
Right. But, and honestly, it wouldn't be such a bad idea if they started, because remember, like, takeovers in the past would be during the regular NXT time slot on the network at Full Sail.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be so bad if they had a takeover to at Full Sail on that regular time slot, especially when they have competition.
I don't think so either. I would posit, I'm not saying I'm like full ready to argue this point, but I would posit that you might not call those takeovers anymore.
Right.
They might be something else.
Yeah. Are you saying like, if they're happening at Full Sail, not call it a takeover, and then if they're at like a major,
well, you have major events, and if you have three brands now, which you do,
yeah.
I mean, at what point is NXT going to be happening on the pay per views? And
right,
and should it or should it not? I mean,
right, rather than have their own pay per view event,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I know the fear of that.
Sure, yeah.
And the fear is that just makes NXT pre-show and, you know, no time, no development. Yeah. And it's the disconnect you can see right now in 205 Live, the show, and 205 Live, the pay-per-view matches. Because if you're only getting your 205 Live information from watching pre-shows, this is Superstars.
Yeah.
You know, this is a waste of time, Superstars.
Yeah, it's a way to keep the crowd interested before they...
Right.
Or to keep the crowd hot before the pay-per-view starts. Yeah, it is a bit of encouragement to see that they're kind of separating, you know, NXT's not going to necessarily do their big events same weekend as WWE events.
Yeah.
I'm okay with keeping them separate for a while. Yeah, and I would be afraid if they were putting NXT matches on WWE pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of NXT loses a bit of its aura, I guess.
I absolutely
once you start doing that.
I also very much understand the appeal of the NXT championship will be defended at WrestleMania.
I like that idea. I would just be okay if that was it.
Right.
And it actually is on WrestleMania, not on pre-show.
I understand it.
Yeah.
But you've already grayed the line. Like that's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
You can do, no, this never happens. You can do, yes, this is fine.
Right.
And then as soon as you're like, okay, I like the feel of that, you're like, well, right, all right, now where's the line?
And see, that's the thing. Like, once you give Vince McMahon that, like, that little taste,
you're
like, okay, now when else can I get away with this? Like, and then the next thing you know, they'll be happening at SummerSlam and all the other big pay-per-view. And next thing you know, they're at every pay-per-view.
Right. And is it just that title or, you know,
starts there.
The NXT women's title. Like, you're not going to say that the men's title is more important than the women's title.
Right.
You know, filthy, filthy fan you. So, obviously, the women's title is also going to be defended at the big four pay-per-views.
Right. So, that means the NXT women's women's championship match will main event the WrestleMania pre-show.
I mean, the lines are blurred.
Yeah.
But I also, you know what? Like, okay, if you are going to put the women's NXT title on WrestleMania,
yeah,
I'm also not saying that doesn't deserve that. That
right,
like, that feels like a monumental moment.
Sure,
there are a lot of WrestleManias where if you had just like copy and pasted the NXT women's title from the TakeOver and put it on the WrestleMania and gotten rid of the, you know, SmackDown women's title or the Raw women's title, that would have been fine.
Sure. yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, again, the separation, it helps NXT kind of keep its, like, you know, its punk rock vibe about it, even though there are a, quote-unquote, smaller brand run by a billion-dollar company, so let's not, you know.
However, I want to say this. We podcasted last week before I got a chance to see NXT go live. So, we have talked a lot about AEW on this, and AEW is going to shake things up, and very much looking forward to seeing AEW live, and what can they bring new to the table, blah, 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 blah. And we have mentioned, you know, NXT is going to go live opposite them. It's going to be a direct challenger. But a lot of that has kind of been through the lens of what does that mean for AEW?
Yeah.
How are they going to respond to this? What are they going to do? And what does this mean for WWE as a whole? You know, and watching NXT live, it was just kind of this feeling of there is no reason that NXT live should not stomp AEW.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to. Yeah. I'm not rooting for it, but they definitely have the talent.
Yes.
They definitely have the setup. NXT could very easily be the must-watch show on Wednesday nights and make, you know, AEW be the one that you go and find later.
Right, especially if, you know, because first impressions are everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them going on USA, you know, like we said, you know, with SmackDown going to Fox, this move makes them available to a lot more eyes, and so you're getting a lot more people who are watching it for the first time. If not, if they haven't watched it the last couple weeks, certainly by next week you're going to get a lot of new eyes. But at the same time, you're going to get a lot of new eyes on AEW, and by comparison, NXT is going to be the far more polished product.
It is.
And that could be the difference maker in a lot of eyes. You know, a lot of people might not be willing to stick around until, you know, they figure out how to perfect Dynamite.
So, one thing that I don't know what AEW is going to do this week on their first episode.
Sure.
We've got, I think, Hangman is has a match against Pac.
Yes.
I don't know if anything else has been officially announced.
I think a tag team match or two has been announced. I don't remember exactly who. Yeah. I think they're going to do another match between SCU and Jurassic Express.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what storylines are launching. I don't know what feuds are starting, et cetera, et cetera. But NXT, their first live episode, is a near masterclass in how to establish yourself as a premier must-see wrestling product.
Yeah.
You can watch that through the eyes of, I've heard about this, but like, I'm a casual wrestling fan.
Yeah.
I'll flip it on Mondays. Like, I, you know, keep track of who's champion, but I'm not a by the network kind of guy, so I've not really seen much NXT. And this is your first opportunity to see NXT, or if you're just flipping through the channels and land on that.
Yeah.
Every match had drive, had purpose, had
enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. There was weight behind each match.
Mm-hmm.
There was urgency. There was agency for each wrestler involved in each match. You knew who was in the match, what they wanted out of that, and where they would go post that once the match was over.
And that was all due, like, again, that is them being a polished product in every facet, like in the pre-match packages to the wrestlers themselves telling a story in the ring to commentators and Mauro and Nigel and Beth, like all covering the bases so that the fans have every single bit of information that they need without feeling like they're drowning in it.
Right.
You know, there's a fine line, and they really they teetered it very well in that first episode. And like, and the episode last night was kind of the same way.
There was no feud that I didn't feel like I immediately wanted to see the next installment in.
Yeah.
And this is including the feuds that weren't actually happening on the show. Like they would video package a couple of things that didn't happen on the episode, but it was this very nice, like, this is also what's happening.
Yeah. Like, it got you hyped for the, I think, third Keith Lee and Dominic Dijakovic
match.
Yeah,
that's the perfect example.
And I don't care about Donovan Dijakovic or whatever his name is.
But it felt like an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
Even, I like, the arguably shortest, most waste of time match is the Cameron Grimes,
yeah. And even that is, they're trying to establish Cameron Grimes as a top-notch guy.
Right, and it does that immediately. And part of that is because of its placement on the card and what every other match has done on the card.
Yeah.
But this guy immediately comes out as a powerhouse, comes out as a top contender. I'm ready to see what he would do, both as a longtime wrestling viewer and a specifically longtime, I know who that guy is,
right,
viewer.
It's like, I've seen that guy in person. I'm very interested in what they do with him.
But both with that respects and a, if I don't know who that is,
yeah.
There's an immediate, okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Lets you know immediately, oh, this guy's good.
Right.
You know?
I'm ready for next week's episode. Yeah.
And like the very end, you know, last night's episode, I don't think you've caught up to it just yet.
No, not yet.
He's in another match against Raul Mendoza, which actually goes a lot longer and is actually a full-fledged match that shows you, you know, more of Cameron Grimes' full, you know, repertoire. Now, we've seen Raul Mendoza, and he's very good as well. So you see, but you see, you know, his...
And
it actually kind of solidified Cameron Grimes as a heel, which they really didn't touch on much up until that point.
Part of... And so that is obviously the match that happened on the premiere episode is a monster build match, is a come out, squash, leave match. Mm-hmm. And having that kind of match as a debut is in no way, shape, or form a bad thing.
Right.
Now, having seen it happen
over and over again
a dozen times, being Cynical Jaded Wrestling fan,
you
know, there is an immediate voice in the back of your head that is like, okay, what lack of wrestling ability are they coming up?
But I like...
And in this case, I have tons of Trevor Lee knowledge. It's like squash, squash, stomp, stomp.
Right.
They're not hiding anything.
Right.
That's just the match that he's got this week.
Yeah. But I like how they did it. Like, the first week, that super short match is kind of like a... Kind of a taste, kind of a hook.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know, the second week, when you see him come out, you're like, oh, this might happen again. But instead, you get a more full, you know, fleshed out match where you see exactly what all he's capable of.
And that's a really smart idea.
Right, it is.
And
because they could have easily fallen into the trope of monster build of like that short match week after week after week, which really doesn't show you anything. Yeah. He's like, oh, this guy's really good at that one move.
Right.
That
and
puts him away.
Like, gosh darn you, Braun Strowman, who like made the monster build work, so I can no longer stand on my pedestal of monster builds never work.
Sure.
But except for one weird exception, monster builds never work.
Right. It's the one exception to the rule, and hopefully we pray that it's not like the crush that WWE leans on. But well, it worked for him.
Right.
Let's do it again. It'll work for Lars Sullivan. It didn't.
It didn't work for Lars Sullivan. It didn't work for Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
It didn't work for Ryback. I mean, it worked for Ryback, but like long term, it did nothing.
Yeah.
It's the empty calories of wrestling building. Like it, I get it. It feels great. It looks great. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But it eventually is a character with no character.
Yeah.
And a moveset with no moves.
Yeah.
And so there's ultimately nothing there. And so to just have that first match and all of that hype and excitement and oh my goodness from a monster build squash, and then to immediately segue that into a display of wrestling ability, does a lot for that character. But, like, I mean, and this is talking about one match. Likewise, you could have known nothing about Undisputed Era.
Right.
And you very quickly get established, this is the team. These are four people. There are four belts. This is their goal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's standing in the way.
Yep.
And you immediately get that. And so you are invested in this match beyond, because this guy versus this guy for this title, I don't, you know anything. There's no real investment. It's honestly something that UFC struggles with.
Yeah.
Because once you decide I'm going to get into UFC and you watch championship match after championship match after championship match, There are so many titles in UFC. And understandably, that's not the same issue that WWE has. Like, they have actual weight regulations and reasons for having such a huge...
But they have a championship for every, what, 15 pounds?
Yeah, something like that.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Well, and I mean, I'm not going to be the one that's like, hey, you need to fight somebody 30 pounds your superior because I think this company has.
But at the same
titles.
Time, that's a lot of champions to kind of keep track of in your mind.
Well, and that's the thing is, so you dip out, you come back in, and you're like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Right.
Everybody I was following is out or is lost or is something or is
lost
down the card.
Championship or right. Yeah.
And then when you try and get back in, you start to be like, this is the same narrative. Has the championship, wants the championship, you know, I'm the greatest, he's nothing, kind of back and forth. And when you have to construct that narrative over and over and over again, person A, person B, for the championship, is not something to get really excited about as a know-nothing fan.
Yeah.
Now, you can absolutely have that match and turn it around very quickly with what's happening in the ring, but to know that you are going on live, potentially in front of new eyeballs for the first time, to add the entire back narrative of the Golden Dream and, you know, we have all but one and this is our final thing, it very quickly gives you all of the pieces that you need to enjoy this like you had been invested for years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree.
And that's what the AEW needs to do.
Yeah.
Now, having said all that, I am still planning on watching AEW Live and NXT later.
Right. I'm the same way.
I am officially saying the reason is you put Matt Riddle in a big old important match on NXT, and I won't be watching that live because no views for that.
Well, he's in the match against Killian Dane. He was in the match this week.
Mm-hmm.
That was on USA. They closed out the USA Hour with it, and I felt like it was a good
mm-hmm.
match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it. Yep. Well, you haven't watched it yet, but I'm assuming it won't turn you.
He's a very talented athlete.
How do you feel about Killian Dane?
I like Killian Dane.
See, there you go.
I mean, I like him fine. Like he is not. Right. He's not a must view character for me. But I'm cheering for him because, do I hate Matt Riddle. I want to see him. And, like, if he was just a heel, I'd be like, this is brilliant work because I genuinely hate him with the core of my being. And he's not.
Yeah, I don't get the hate of it. I could see, because I nothing Matt Riddle.
God, I hate him.
Which is probably worse than strong feelings one way or other. But that full-on meh feeling that I have is probably not a desired response. Because like Baron Corbin, you're like, ugh, this guy. And, you know, you boo or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. But with nothing is, you know, you get crickets.
I am unhappy that he is there.
Right.
And that is the feeling that you are supposed to get with...
a heel.
Yeah, with Miz or whoever. If the whole crowd was booing him, I think I would enjoy booing him with the crowd. I think...
when you're alone?
Yeah.
Booing?
It's mind-boggling and frustrating, and I don't enjoy it. And so...
Him wrestling barefoot stresses me out.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate that. I hate his stupid face. I hate his stupid hair. I hate his stupid flip-flops. I hate his stupid little tiny shorts.
Okay. All right. There's a lot of guys in wrestling that wear stupid tiny shorts.
Yeah,
man.
But his are the stupidest.
I...
Not even the tiniest, but the stupidest.
Is there an explanation behind this, or are you just irrationally hating everything?
I don't like him.
Fair. So there is one bit of news that occurred today.
Yes.
That Joel, I will let you, if you're picking up what I'm alluding to, I will let you have your moment to gloat. Proceed.
You're talking about the fact that it has been announced that I believe the signing is finalized, right?
I believe so, yes.
That at some point, John Morrison, or John whatever.
Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact.
Yes, is coming back to WWE.
Yes. So assuming, going back to the John Morrison name, unless he wants to be Johnny Raw, Johnny SmackDown, Johnny NXT.
I mean,
Johnny WWE.
Obviously, and this is, I'm totally stealing this joke, but if you don't have a, you know, John Morrison versus Gargano match over the rights of Johnny Takeover, like,
yeah,
what are you even doing with him? Why even bother bringing him back?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, the guy got to do pretty much everything he wanted to do outside of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's done by any stretch, you know, because the guy's super talented.
Yes.
It would be interesting to see him with this current crop of talent, you know, because, like, when in his heyday, it felt like this guy is just wrestling circles around everybody, doing his all weird, you know, acrobatic stuff that was amazing and
parkour.
Fantastic. Yes. Is doing all this fantastic things.
He was the prince of parkour. Do you not remember?
Thank you for reminding me. And I'm moving on. Doing all these things with, I'm not saying like necessarily with guys that couldn't keep up, but guys who were very much your standard wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have more guys of all shapes and sizes and ability. And, like, you can have matches with him against Ricochet, which would be incredible. Like, you started.
I mean, that's, you know, that's Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma. Like you pick the one guy that he has the biggest library
did
of
they
matches
ever,
with.
Did they have, no, did they, I know they tagged together. Did they ever face each other in
Yeah, they
Lucha?
Did.
Well, I didn't stick around with Lucha that long. Anyway, you could have him. What did he face AJ Styles at TNA?
Not that I know. That's an excellent example.
Well, there you go.
What a good example to pick out randomly out of
What did you want? Did you want me to say Johnny Morrison versus Kofi? Because that probably happened 10 years ago.
I mean, for the record, if they go do John Morrison versus Ricochet, it'll be a great match.
Yes,
and you should watch it on your TV.
Yes, or Morrison versus Nakamura, or versus Sami Zayn, or Kevin Owens, or all these guys that weren't in WWE when he was there last.
I will say it is... So, John Morrison, for those who haven't listened to the 380-plus podcast episodes of this, was...
He was your guy.
He was my guy very early on, and very much like he was winning WWE championships in at least two of my way too early WrestleMania predictions.
Right.
Because I'm like, this is the year. He's going
to... You really thought they were going to put the Rockets on him.
I was sure. I was also very naive and can look back at his booking then and be like, why was I thinking that? Like,
yeah,
they were not booking him like that. Anyway, so he is one that has gone out in the world and been basically the champion everywhere else.
Yeah, top of making like action movies.
Yes,
and just doing all these cool, amazing things that he wouldn't have been able to do in WWE.
But he's very much been top-tier talent in every company except for WWE.
Yeah.
Now, WWE right now has the pick of their top-tier talent.
Yeah.
But I also think there's no reason that he wouldn't be top-tier talent unless WWE's looking for a mid-carder. And I also think it's very possible that he's getting a very nice paycheck with don't go to AEW in the memo.
I have a feeling that this is going to be more of a Shelton Benjamin-type signing than, you know, anyone that's main eventing right now. Which, again, at this point in his career, like... Get that money and take advantage of, you know, this bidding war that's going on between AEW and WWE at this point. I don't know. A lot of people were expecting him to go to AEW.
I was.
Yeah, I was not expecting him to come back.
I mean, and I was very excited. I was like, he's going to, you know, Johnny Dynamite is going to be on the show. I'm going to get to see him on a weekly basis.
Yep.
He's got a good shot at being in the main event. And I was like, well, I'll still see him on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I don't know where now.
Sure.
But I am excited for no other reason than to get to see him on a more frequent basis.
Yeah.
And not have to seek him out. And that was the big stumbling block, is he went to all these companies. He was champion in all these companies. He was top tier talent in these companies. They were all so hard to find.
Yeah. No, especially the lower, like, lesser-known independent shows and stuff like that. You know, that's kind of honestly, because, again, if you want to go back to however many years it's been since he was released, because me and you both had our guys released, I think, at the same time.
Possibly.
Yeah, because your guy was Johnny Morrison. My guy was Chris Masters. Both of us were very salty about them getting fired. And Chris Masters, he, you know, wasn't as well known as Johnny Morrison, doesn't have, you know, the parkour abilities or, you know, the looks. Mm-hmm. And he was going to a lot more lesser known organizations and not even touching really TNA or Ring of Honor or anything like that. So it was really hard to keep up with him. And I know he's still wrestling. I just don't know where or
yeah
or for what, you know.
Yeah.
So I might be waiting a little bit longer before the master mm-hmm. of the master lock comes back. But you win. You win. I don't know how long it's been, 7-8 years since the firing. But both of us were like, they're both kind of going to be coming back. And I feel like that was a conversation we had of like, who's going to be right about this?
Yeah, I think it was.
Congratulations. I tip my hat to you if I was wearing one. You correctly predicted that one.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. I knew it.
I feel so. And honestly, I didn't see the day coming.
All right. I full disclosure, full admitting, if AEW wasn't a thing,
yeah,
I would be very. I would assume it's not happening. But yeah. I also saw AEW coming. Like I perfectly predicted all of this, and this was the thing that I chose to tell you about.
You completely 100%. Foresaw AEW specifically back in 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Cody said, I'll take that bet on Twitter. And I was like, that's Morrison, baby. Right there.
Morrison confirmation. You knew all this back when Cody was still in WWE. Nice. When he was stardusting it up.
All right. I don't think we have a whole lot left.
Nope.
I'm sure we're going to have a ton.
Next week is going to be packed.
I don't even know. Like you said, when we're going to podcast or how we're going to break down the three really important shows and also whatever happens on Raw that's happening next week.
You said three important shows. I was like, okay, which ones are you talking? Are you singling AEW out differently? Or then, okay, now I see what you're saying. Yeah.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet whenever. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Follow us now. So we can have conversations.
A little peek behind the curtain. I am usually in charge of Twitter duties. I might need some help this week. I'm not even joking. if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show. Send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you subscribe, write a review. That really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes matches go.
And you can find us on Facebook, Classroom Attire. Just search it. Keep up with the podcast and keep up with other things that Joel and I have going on.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.